Welcome to the Women on the Rise podcast. This is where we talk all things entrepreneurship aimed at female entrepreneurs. Whether you are just starting out or you have a 7 or an 8 figure business, we bring you the greatest tools, techniques, and ideas for inspiration for your business. I also interview some of the world's leading entrepreneurs from all over the world to hear about their businesses and what they've done to grow and scale their businesses. I welcome you to join us in our journey for Women on the Rise. Welcome back. So in today's episode, I was actually supposed to be doing an interview in the studios that we use. I'm sitting in Dubai today, about to go off traveling again, but one of our guests was unable to make it. So I decided what better use of the studio space than to come in and record some solo episodes because I haven't done that. And I set a challenge for our members and I said, tell me what you would like to hear on the podcast. And one of the recommendations that I had was from Nikki, who's one of our members in New Zealand. And she said, why don't you talk about some of the reasons why a business might not be scaling? And so I thought, okay, I'm going to put together for you the top 10 reasons why your business might not be scaling. So if you are somebody who feels a little bit stuck, that you are not growing, that you are not reaching the revenue goals that you would like to hit, maybe some of these ideas that I share with you today might be something that you might need to review in your business and see what you could change to help you reach those revenue goals, to help you scale in your business. Now, the first one that I would like to look at is your business model. So what is your business model? And is that business model going to allow you to scale where you want to go? Because there are certain business models that people who have created their businesses find that it limits them. So what that means, let's say, for example, that your goal is that you want to scale up to $500,000 in your business, but you are maybe hitting $75,000, $100,000, and you're like, why am I not growing? It might be that just your business model limits that. So it could be that maybe there is not significant demand for that product or service and you are limited, that it is not allowing you to scale. And I see this all the time with businesses, that they create a business that just does not have the demand, that does not allow them to scale, that does not allow them to increase their business in a way that's going to allow them to reach those revenue goals. So you want to really have a look at that. And it also aligns as well with the market demand. Have you done the research when you set up your business, or even as you've gone along in your business, to really look and identify if there is significant demand? So point number two is, do you have significant demand for your product or your service? Now, you might have had that demand when you were setting up, but it could be that the market's changed. It could be that there is more competition within the market. And when that happens, we need to look at what it is that we're selling, who it is that we're selling it to, and if that makes sense, or if we need to diversify and start looking at other products or services we might be able to offer, or to potentially different markets. We constantly need to be evaluating this. I found this within Female Fusion as well, that we have looked at what we are offering, where the demand is, and what we need to add more of or add less of. I had a problem with this in my previous business. A lot of people know I owned a global training business. And one of the mistakes that I made very early on is I serviced one particular industry and I serviced one particular market. And what happened, now I've gone through quite a few recessions in my entrepreneurial career, but what happened is that when the market fell, when it dipped in that area, my business dipped and I didn't have business in other areas. And so it's really important as well to make sure that you have some of that diversification going on as well. Now, point number three, this is a big one. A lot of entrepreneurs struggle with it. And that is cash flow management, financial management. As business owners, we need to be on top of the money. But it can be very hard if you are not mathematically minded. I was never mathematically minded when I went to school. I actually failed high school maths. It was just not my thing. In my first business, I had my head in the sand. I was like, I'm going to bring the business in. Somebody else can manage the money. But the problem is that we need to understand the numbers in our business. We need to understand how much money we're bringing into the business, how much money we're sending out of the business, what we're spending our money on, and what we can expect that we have to pay in the future. Nobody wants to run out of money in their business, but this happens a lot with small businesses that they have really poor financial management because they don't understand it. They're so focused on delivering, keeping clients happy. And then what happens is that they end up not being able to be on top of their money, and they can end up losing a lot of money. So if you don't know how to do that, you want to be able to have a finance person to help you. It could be your accountant. It could be something called a fractional CFO as well, which as your business gets a bit bigger, this is somebody who is more experienced than a bookkeeper or an accountant and will be able to give you strategic direction within your business. Within Female Fusion, we work with our accounting team, and every quarter they give us a cash flow forecast. We look at where we're spending the money in our business. We look at where we should be spending more, where we should be spending less, and to also be able to predict trends. That really helps you to be able to make those smart business decisions, which ultimately allow you to scale. Okay, number four, another area that can hold people back from scaling their business. And this comes down to leadership and management within our business. So it could be us as the owner or the founder in the business. It could also be other people that you have working within your business who could be leaders or managers within your business. When we own a business, it's really important that we're on top of that and we're on top of team. But I get it because it's super hard, right? Because we are doing everything. We're doing the money, the team, the new business, the marketing, the sales, all of these different things. It can feel very overwhelming. And the last thing you want to be dealing with is drama that's happening over there with two people on your team that aren't getting on, or that maybe they need some extra support. So if this is not your zone of genius, or if it's something that you don't have time for, it's really important to not neglect it. It's something that you want to be able to have somebody else, either full-time, part-time, or even outsourced, to be able to help you with that. I talk about this in Female Fusion because, again, with everything that we have going on, I love our team so much. We have such a beautiful team in Female Fusion. And if you're a member, you'll have dealt with the number of our team members. But we also have somebody who is responsible for them within the team. So everybody knows Celia. Celia is kind of my right-hand woman when it comes to supporting me with the team. So I know that she does that really well. And it also has a little bit of extra support from me so I can focus on doing the visionary stuff, because often as founders, we're the visionary people. Like for me, I just want to go off and create. I want to come up with the ideas, go off and create, but then you need the support of your team. So don't neglect that. As a business owner, it's really important to have that strong leadership within the team. Surround yourself with people who are going to be good leaders, whether they're full-time, part-time, outsourced, but be able to have that team that really works well together. Okay. Other reasons why you might not be able to be scaling as quickly as you want, and that is that you might be struggling with maintaining the quality of your product or your service. Again, this is hard. You know, we're growing fast, and we want to be able to meet so many of these objectives. I'm a person who's like, go big or go home. Always like these great big ideas, but sometimes we need to make sure that we don't go too fast, that we risk the quality of the product or the service we have. The reason why that's important is that the moment that our quality starts to slip, our customers might start scratching their heads and going, do I really want to work with them? Is this the right business for me? You know, in the beginning when they started out, their quality was really great, but as they've grown, the quality has slipped. So as you scale up, as you get bigger, make sure that you maintain your quality or even exceed the quality that your customers expect, because the moment that that starts to slip, you know, you're only as good as the last product or service you delivered, and they will go elsewhere as well. And so really, really make sure that you maintain or exceed that quality that your customers are used to. Another area where people might slip when they're trying to scale is number six, and that is lack of innovation. That we can sometimes get stuck on our day-to-day delivery because when we grow, when we scale, it's a lot of work, right? And sometimes we can get so trapped in the day-to-day that we are forgetting about constantly innovating. And as founders, and a lot of people who listen to this podcast are sole founders, how do you maintain that innovation? How do you keep coming up with those ideas or different products or services that you're going to offer, or making an existing product or service better? We need to innovate, but we need to have that creative space to do that. So I set aside time every week. One of the things that I do is I spend a lot of time blocking, where Mondays and Fridays, I have that as gen time. So whether that is innovating and having brainstorms with people, or if it is using that time to create content, create social media, do media interviews, that is my creative space. And you want to ensure that you set aside time for yourself. It doesn't have to be every week, but it could even be once a month, where you have that time, that creative space to shut off from the day-to-day of the business and to think about how you could constantly be innovating. It could be having brainstorms or conversations with other entrepreneurs or other experts to be able to help you with that ideation and that innovation within your business. But it's really important to be able to do that, because the moment that we stop doing that, we stagnate, right? And to be able to scale, we need to be able to innovate. So give yourself that brain space and that free thinking time so you will be able to have that innovation time. Number seven is also a really important one. And when I speak with businesses, when we get our seven and eight figure businesses together, one of the biggest challenges is talent. Attracting talent, maintaining talent within your business, retaining them, being able to keep them happy. I hear from business owners a lot, you know, oh, if only I could find, you know, the best marketing person or the best assistant or the best salesperson or the best general manager. And it feels like this can be the holy grail. So we need to make people a priority. So one area I spoke about was just general management and how we're leading, but also as well that we need to have the right recruitment systems in place so we are going to be able to find the very best talent for our business. Now, the same goes for whether it's full-time or it's freelance, or it's part-time, or it's outsourced people. You want to find the best. So you're looking at things like making sure that you have job descriptions and KPIs, key performance indicators, for everything in your business, and hire around that. You always hear the term hire slow, fire fast. But as a small business, when you are growing and scaling, you really need to do that. And we don't always get it right, but make sure that you take your time to find those people. Oftentimes, I hire more for attitude rather than skill, because you can always train people to do a certain skill or a certain task, but it's much harder to change somebody's attitude. So what kind of attitude do you want to look for? So for us within Female Fusion, and also within my other business as well, I've always looked to have people who are great team players, who like to collaborate and work well as part of teams, who will take initiative. So rather than coming to you with a problem and saying, oh, well, tell me what you want me to do. Instead, they go off and research it and they will come back to you and go, right, this is the problem, ABCD. So for example, one of the things that showed me that I really had the great team in place in Female Fusion, we had a problem recently where we had a problem with the venue and we were unable, I think it was about 5 days before an event, we were unable to use a venue. And my team didn't even tell me that this was going on. I was blissfully unaware. And I'm very grateful for that because I did not want to know the drama that was going on behind the scenes. But they came to me and they said, look, we have a problem with this venue. We've got 5 days before the event, but before you freak out, we have a solution. And actually, we have two solutions for you. There's option A or there's option B. And they said, we recommend option B, but we wanted to give you the choice between both. We would like to do option B. Is that okay with you? And I was like, yes, thank you. Like you made that so easy for me. It was like briefing me for 2 minutes, telling me what your recommended approach was and me saying, do it. So much better than someone coming and saying, we have a problem. And so that is why you really want to be able to hire for people like that, especially as you are growing so fast. Not everybody is suited to work for a small business. And I've seen this, that sometimes people are really suited for a corporate environment where they're surrounded by hundreds of people and it's easy to do just one task. When you are in a small business, you are doing anything and everything from stuffing envelopes and making name badges to building strategies to talking to customers to writing proposals. It could be anything, and you want to make sure that you have people like that who are going to be really diverse and willing to be able to do that. So if you are not scaling, if you are struggling with scaling, maybe look at the people that you have. Are they right? Are they the right people for your business? And if you are feeling like you need to hire because you don't have enough people, do really be careful. Take your time to get the right people within your business because you have the right team working for you who really complement each other, and it's going to make it so much easier for you to scale. You get it wrong, it's going to hold you back. Number 8, inadequate systems or infrastructure. This is super important in our businesses. Oftentimes, we start out with an idea, build our business, doing everything, servicing clients or customers, growing. And then you reach a point. Typically, I see this with businesses that have hit multiple six figures and everything grinds to a halt. The reason why it grinds to a halt is that there is so much admin that needs to be done that it just becomes overwhelming. And oftentimes, the reason why there's so much admin is that you haven't set up the right systems, operations, structures within your business to make it easy. My rule is make it easy. I look at everything and I say this to my team all the time. I'm like, how can we make it less complicated? How can we make this easy? How can we find a way to save time? If we save money, even better. But you want to find systems and structures on how you can do that. So it's simple things from the time that you're starting out. If you haven't done it when you've started out, if you're further along the line, you need things like standard operating procedures. What that means is that you have a way of working for everything that needs to be done in your business. Why? Because when you have new people work on your team or existing people, you know that everybody is doing things exactly the same. How annoying is it if you go to a shop, let's say for example, and you get served a certain way one day and that customer service person is amazing. You think like, oh wow, that person is so fantastic. They're so knowledgeable. They help me. The experience was so great that you go back the week later. And a week later, it's a different person in that shop. And that person serves you a completely different way. They don't have the information. They're not willing to help you. They tell you that it's not possible. it's a completely different experience, right? And you kind of feel a bit confused. And that's why having things like standard operating procedures, ensuring your team understands the standard operating procedures and training them on that really helps. It also helps as well to have systems that you're using that everybody is trained on so people know how to do it. You respond in certain ways, you deal with situations in a certain way, you use technology in a certain way. Everything is running like a well-oiled machine, because when you don't do that, it slows down everything and it hinders the growth of your business. So if you are stuck with that, absolutely look at your systems and operations. Now, with this and with a number of other areas that I've talked about, if you are a member of Female Fusion and you're listening, we have masterclasses for that. We have a masterclass vault and we have about 3 masterclasses just on systems and operations. And then we have technical tutorials and templates to help you implement a number of the different common tools and resources that businesses need, from everything from setting up your email system for your business, to how you share passwords, to how you're creating your standard operating procedures, to your project management software. Project management software with a team is really useful to help you stay on top of tasks as well. So look at your systems and operations. If you don't have that, really find a way to get consistent with that as well. Number 9 is depending on a small customer base. When we depend on a small customer base, even if we have 1 or 2 clients who are great and they're big and we're like, my business is so sorted, this is fabulous, what happens if they leave? What happens if their industry suffers a setback and they need to cut back on their spend with you? That leaves you really vulnerable. You want to be able to look at your business and have customers in a number of different industries, ideally in different markets if you can as well. So if there is any slowdown at any time, that is going to leave you protected. And it leaves you in a very vulnerable position if you've just got a small number of customers. And I've seen this with so many small businesses, that you could potentially see a massive decline in your sales if you're just relying on 1 or 2 clients. So make sure that if you are seeing that you're not scaling as much as what you would like, have a really diverse range of clients that you are able to service. Okay, and number 10, I'm saving what I think is the best for last. And number 10 is you. Oftentimes, one of the reasons why our businesses aren't scaling is because of us. And the reason for that is that we can be the biggest barrier to growth. And there are a number of reasons for that. And there are a number of things that we as business owners do, which can hold us back. So one area is something really simple, but I see this a lot, is that entrepreneurs ignore feedback, that they are so convinced that they are right, that they are so convinced that what they are doing is the very best to their business, that they are not listening to feedback from others. That could be feedback from employees, feedback from customers, feedback from potential customers. You constantly want to be listening. Now, you don't have to change everything because somebody says, oh, I'd like you to do more this or that. But it's more looking for trends and spotting areas which could be potential risks or potential opportunities for your business that could allow you to grow. But we need to be open-minded to that. And many times we take our business so personally that we're not, because we feel like it can be a personal attack on ourselves. And sometimes we do it deliberately without even thinking about it. And I noticed even that I did this recently. We've recently had our retreat in Kenya, and a couple of our members that were on the retreat, we stayed a little bit longer, and they said to me, they're like, okay, Jen, we are spending the day, retreat's over, we're going to talk about Jen's business and we want to give you feedback and we want to help you brainstorm and mastermind some of your next big moves in Female Fusion. And a few of them were giving me feedback, and I caught myself I noticed I did this a few times without even really realizing it when I was receiving feedback and they were saying, have you thought about this? Have you done this? Have you done that? And I was instantly kind of like, no, this wouldn't work because no, we've tried that. No, that wouldn't work. And I realized after doing that two or three times, I was like, isn't this interesting? I'm always talking about being open, receiving feedback, and all of a sudden, I'm not doing it myself. And I said to the two women I was with, I'm like, oh, I'm not taking your feedback, am I? They're like, nope, sit there and be quiet and listen to what we have to say. And sometimes you have to do that and listen to it and reflect on it because it's valuable information that you could take and put in place in your business. So be open to feedback because if you're not, it could be to the detriment of your business. Other area of us is lack of self-improvement. Any business owner that I know who has gone big, who scales big, who has a big business, one thing they all have in common is they say that they invest a significant amount of time and money on their professional development and personal development. And that is things like having a coach or being part of a mastermind, going to conferences, having accountability partners, having people that they talk to about their business, taking qualifications, anything that they have that they can learn and improve. And just because we have a business that's done really well doesn't mean that we can't do better. And I'm surprised when I meet people who say they're like, I don't need this. I've already written a book on entrepreneurship, so I don't need any more development because I'm the best at this. Or I don't need to do that because my business has already achieved that. But if you want to go further, we have to get really comfortable with being uncomfortable because it's in that uncomfortable space of acknowledging that we don't know everything or that there's a new skill that we can improve on that will help us grow further in our business. So be open to that. Be open to the professional development. So that's going to help you grow. Last area on us is not being willing to seek support of others, network with others, be part of a community. The other area that really successful business owners say to me that has helped them scale has been their network. It has been the people that they surround themselves with. It has been the community, the entrepreneurs that they can ask for help and ask for support. So I always say that is why Female Fusion is here, and that is why I have created Female Fusion, is to really be able to provide women with that network globally within their business. But it's also, you want to be part of a number of networks. So Female Fusion is a great one, but look at other industry specific networks, maybe ones that are different chambers of commerce. Maybe it's other events that you could go to that you could build your own network, but surround yourself with people who are like you, because when you do that, it makes it so much easier for you to ask for help, to find those collaborations and support to be able to grow your business. So from my top 10 list, if you are struggling to grow your business, I hope that you have been able to identify a couple of areas that maybe you need to dive a little bit deeper in, that if you can tackle that, that you will start to see so much more growth in your business and you will be able to scale your business. I am so passionate about scaling up businesses. I want you to have the most profitable business that you can possibly have. And that is why I delivered 10 masterclasses, my absolute favorite masterclasses that will help you scale up your business. I live delivered them, but the greatest thing is I've also packaged it together that you can access it today and get access to these 10 masterclasses that will take you through everything from financial management to creating your strategy to using events to new business development and creating your elevator pitch. Not only that, things like building your email list and creating lead magnets and freebies. All the things that you need to scale up your business. You can access it today for the special price of $97. If you go to femalefusionnetwork.com/scaleup, you can see everything that's included and get immediate access today.